From the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre on the Buzz Radio Network.
There's frustration on his part and kind of life on the road. So that's the frustrating part of it. You know, he didn't get a chance to go out and play. But, you know, you got to learn, you know, as the game is being called, you got to learn how to play. And because obviously he's really big in what we do. And having him out there really affects, you know, how we play from an offensive standpoint, defensively, guys getting shots because he gets so much attention paid to him.
Welcome back, Hour 2, live from Rolling Raps, North Little Rock, 501-945-RAP. It's W-R-A-P. That was Mike Anderson talking about Marshawn Powell. And not a great performance for his two stars, Marshawn Powell, even less so for B.J. Young in the game the other day over the weekend at Florida. So, again, Arkansas lost by the Vegas number at the end of the day. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference, but, you know, I'm sure they're disappointed. And certainly I'm sure B.J. Young and Marshawn Powell are disappointed. But the bottom line is the Hogs will be fine if they take care of their business this week. It is a huge week for Arkansas. Hogs playing LSU on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's tomorrow night. Game that will start at 6:30 from a pregame standpoint on the Buzz Radio Network and followed by the fifth quarter. And then on Saturday, Kentucky comes to Fayetteville. Sold out, CBS Sports national broadcast, 3 o'clock tip, 2:30 pregame. So, again, huge week for Arkansas and a chance to really take a huge step forward in the conversation to maybe, just maybe, make the NCAA tournament. Arkansas would then advance to 10-6 in conference play and 19-10 overall, but certainly a big if and not going to be real easy. But some good things happening for Arkansas. Some of the numbers, as you look through them at this point, Arkansas ranks third in the country with a turnover margin of plus 6, forcing an average of 17.6 turnovers a game this year. That was not the case, certainly, against Florida. Arkansas struggled to force turnovers, I think 8 in the game for Florida, and I believe Arkansas had 14 turnovers in that game. So a negative standpoint, and, you know, again, not shocking as they go on the road against a very good Florida team. Florida, the only team in the SEC that's ranked at this point, which I'm sure is, for the commissioner's office, very disappointing. But it's been a down year. I mean, look at the RPI. It is a, and we talk about it, and the pigskin preacher is always all too happy to talk about it.
The SEC and their brilliance in basketball, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's been a rough year so far.
They're going to get three teams more than likely unless somebody gets hot and wins the tournament.
Yeah, somebody will have a chance to get in as a fourth. I mean, we talked to Dave Odom yesterday at length, and if you missed the interview, it was a good conversation with the former Wake Forest and South Carolina coach. And, you know, he said there's six teams that are still in contention to probably pick up three or four slots. And so
I would agree with that.
You know, I think we're all convinced that Florida is in. And so there you go. Arkansas is at Missouri next week, and then, of course, wraps up the season at Texas A&M.
Missouri is probably in. I don't know that all their coaches' recent problems, though, might not weigh against them. The NCAA is a vindictive bunch of people. So
Alabama's quietly having a good season. I mean, we have not talked much about them, but they're sitting at 10-4 in conference
they
play.
They are, but my goodness, they've got a couple of the worst non-conference losses. Mercer, honestly, they're going to have to be up there pretty high.
And then Ole Miss at 9-5 and 20-7 overall. Let's bring in Jim Harris here on the Revolution Hotline. Jim, how are you, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Better than Arkansas was on Saturday. Hopefully it'll be a big week. So what percentage do you put Arkansas's chances at for getting in the NCAA tournament at this point?
Getting into the tournament? Probably 5%.
5%?
That may be high. And they've got to win. They got to win at LSU. They got to win at Missouri, and they probably have to win out at home and then win two games in the tournament. And if they did that, they'd have a nice-looking finishing resume where I think they would be about 12 or so of their last 14 games. That would be pretty good, but I just don't think they have enough. They don't have enough, you know, resume wins, and they don't have a really good showing on the road. I mean, we know that, and yeah. I don't feel good about them playing. I mean, they beat Auburn. That wasn't, you know, a good team by any stretch. They really need to show they can beat somebody like LSU.
Yeah, I guess the Missouri game is the one that I would question, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're not right. It certainly would go a long ways in helping them, but, you know, if they win 3 of 4, including one road win against LSU, and then win a couple of games in the tournament, they're sitting at 22 wins. I mean, I don't think it would be impossible for the for the NCAA committee to keep him out, but I guess I would think that that would be enough to get in.
Yeah, well, I see Alabama maybe being able to get in better, and mm-hmm. they're really a question mark. As Pigskin pointed out, they lost they lost at home to Mercer. They have no real – the only resume win they've got is beating Kentucky at home in the league game. It just doesn't look good.
No good out of league. If you don't have any good out of league wins in a terrible league, it's not mm-hmm. going to impress the committee. That's what they're going to look to.
Well, yeah, the bottom teams are really bringing this league down. That's the main thing. I mean, you take Arkansas. I've said this the last few weeks, but explain to me again how Arkansas went to South Carolina and lost by 21. I mean, teams have gone in there and beaten them by 21. I just don't understand mm-hmm. what happened to Arkansas that day. Well, South Carolina's bringing the league down. Mississippi State obviously is bringing the league down. Auburn and is, they just bring the RPI down. And then Arkansas's lost it, one of those spots. Also, Vanderbilt's been pretty terrible this year.
That's kind of a mystery because historically they've been a pretty good team. I mean, they had to start over. Yes, but there's this thing called recruiting. You can bring new guys in when the old guys leave. Apparently their coach doesn't know that.
I think he's done a better than average job probably, about like the football coach has done a better than average job. But, yeah, it's definitely been an off year, and they've had to lean on youngsters, and it hasn't gone well for them. Alabama's got a murderer's row coming up, Jim, after Auburn this week on Thursday – actually tonight, rather. Then they go – poor – I almost feel bad for Alabama. They go to Florida on Saturday, and then – Alabama gets to go to Ole Miss next Tuesday, so I'm going to guess that they pick up at least a couple more wins or a couple more losses rather along the way.
Here. Yeah, I would say so. It's been a real struggle for them this year. They've just never really gotten. I think Anthony Grant's a good coach and showed that at VCU, and it looked like he had things, going the right way at Alabama, but this has been a kind of a setback year for his program, no doubt.
I'm going to predict right here, Jim, Alabama does not make the field.
You're yeah.
here first.
I think that's probably true.
I would agree with you, and I think they'll be NIT. I think Arkansas's got a really good shot, if they can play like we've been talking about, to get in the NIT. And I think getting in the NIT now is not horrible. I mean, I just don't think it's like it is bad, especially for this team. And the young guys, I just don't think it's a bad deal for the Razorbacks to for any postseason. For that
How about
matter.
The Razorbacks versus Arkansas State in the NIT? How about that?
Well, it could happen. I like Arkansas State chances to win in Hot Springs.
All right.
And possibly go to the NCAA.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they beat. They beat Middle, I guess, earlier this season.
They
upset them last year. I think they've got a little better team this year. I mean, they're really playing well. Their backcourt's playing well. So I like Arkansas State to make some noise this year in Hot Springs and, get all the way through it.
Yeah, it's good news, bad news, good news.
Middle or I only see Arkansas State or Middle Tennessee probably being able to win the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And, it's good news, bad news. The last time Middle Tennessee lost was to Arkansas State. The problem is they haven't lost since then. They've reeled off 14 in a row. So, hey, that would be an awfully fun final to watch if it came down to that, without a doubt. Big week for Arkansas. And if they win both games, it'll be fun to have the conversation next week and see where we're going from there. But I think at this point, if they don't win tomorrow night at LSU, the conversation probably comes to a screeching halt.
I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not. Thinking, taking the Kentucky game for granted now that they don't have Nerland Noel, but gosh, I would hate to see Arkansas miss this opportunity to beat a beatable Calipari team.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it sounds like next year it's going to be back to normal and they're going to be great again. So take advantage of it while you can.
Well, Kentucky has a bye in the way of Mississippi State tomorrow, so they got to be good and rested. Plus, the guy that they stuck in there, Willie Cauley-Stein, was. Oh, by the way, the best performing freshman of the week last week.
I noticed that. He looked pretty good in the game.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there's some drop off when you're talking about one of the great players in the league, but that was not a bad performance by him. And Yeah, I mean, it's again, when you consider who it was, the competition was. I mean, they did beat, you know, Vanderbilt, but did beat Missouri too. So the question is, how are they going to be on the road? They have yet to win a road game since Noel went down. Arkansas, I guess a couple of things in their favor. I was just looking through some of the notes the SEC sends out. 3-4 against teams in the RPI top 50, which isn't too bad. 5-8 against the top 100 in the RPI. So there have been many years where it's been worse than that. And like you said, I mean, again, if they can catch fire here, I think if they win 3 out of 4 and win a couple in the tournament, it's going to be a good conversation, because Alabama, I think, is going to play its way out this next 10 days.
You know, for the Hogs, it's all about one thing. If they shoot the ball well from the outside, they're a pretty good team. If they don't, they're a lousy team. That's the only point that you really need to understand about this team. If they can't shoot from the outside, teams pack that defense inside and they have no room to get to the rack. But if they shoot well, it opens everything up and they're pretty athletic. But, you know, who knows what team's going to show up.
That is true. Baseball doing what it's supposed to do, Jim, as we move on. Arkansas ranked third in the Baseball America Top 25, now at 7-1, and in the early going, ranked second in the Collegiate Baseball Poll. And then Colin Poche named the SEC Freshman of the Week. Speaking of,
that's exciting.
Performing at a high level. Yeah.
Both these two freshmen. Poche, what a neat name.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think Flower Mound, Texas, don't you think French?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Flower Mound, Texas. Francois. Yeah.
Scenic and beautiful Flower Mound, Texas. But that was good to see him get some love.
But the other freshman, too, whose name, of course, escapes me right now, as most freshmen's names do at this time of the year, pitched pretty well. And then Tyler Spoon hitting the baseball. What a great name there, Tyler Spoon. Don't you love it?
I love it. I love it, John.
Tyler Spoon.
So anyway, Arkansas doing pretty much what it's supposed to do at this point, but just an update on that. I thought that was nice to give him a little tip of the cap.
And I mean, you know, if North Carolina loses one of these to podunk you, you know, here in the early going, they're, mm-hmm. you know, they'll drop a spot. You know, Arkansas, Vanderbilt's up there. I mean, you know, I think to be in the top five right now, you're doing just fine. Arkansas's 2-1, 3 in the other. And we all know that we're going to find out soon enough when Ole Miss comes to town in the middle of March what kind of team they've got.
Mm-hmm. Well, as bad as the SEC is in basketball, they're that good in baseball. So you're going to get tested in the league pretty consistently.
And I just wonder, not to keep belittling it, and I did knock down some of those teams, but how bad really is the league? I just don't think it's tumbled to this level that it's, you know, and not to knock the Southland, sorry, Justin, but I mean, this is a decent league. I mean, I know there's some bad losses back then in December and November, but it was a young league. Those teams who lost, I mean, I can't explain Alabama losing to Mercer, but just how is it really that bad a league? I mean, Kentucky, even without Noel, I mean, I think they can do some damage, you know, if they get in the tournament. I mean, they've got great ability. I think Florida is as good of top seven players as about anybody I've seen. I mean, when they're even playing average, that's a good little ball club. I think they'll screw it up at the end and lose a close game again like they've done
last year. Jim, to quote Sammy Hagar, time will tell if we stand the test of time. When they get in the tournament, if they get a couple of three teams in the Sweet 16, then you'll say obviously the league wasn't as bad as everyone says. But
well, there's a lot of questions. Yeah, I mean,
it's all speculative.
Well, nobody knows how Kentucky's going to be
good.
Too. I mean,
but the RPIs aren't going to put them in a good place either. I mean,
then if they don't get in the tournament, then we're going to go ahead and stick with the original script that they were terrible.
Well, how about if they send two teams to New York City, I guess, in the NIT final?
That doesn't matter.
Will that make it?
No, because Michigan's won the NIT three times, and every time we win, my friends say it doesn't matter.
And
so
nobody cares.
It doesn't matter.
Everybody, I mean, most fans, I think, would rather lose in the first round of the NCAA than win the NIT. I would.
Most would.
And my old cohort talked me out of that. I used to
have
that argument.
Let everybody in.
Well, that's not going to happen. But what would you – I mean, wouldn't you rather have this team make the NCAA tournament and get bounced in the first round than make it to the NIT final?
Then play five games and three at home and maybe go to
this whole extra practice time and extra game time, I mean, that's all they do all year long. I mean, they play basketball. They go to school and they play basketball. That's what they – five games? Yeah. I mean, really 8 or 10, 12, 20 more – doesn't matter.
It's not like bowl practices.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm sure Michael Qualls is going to jump a lot better and really be way better defensively next year after he has 15 NIT practices. Jim, I was able to check out Sporting Life Arkansas's coverage on the draft and Tyler Wilson. You guys did a great job, I thought, compiling what people were saying about the former Arkansas quarterback. We were fortunate to have him on last week, and then we had Niall Davis on a little bit ago, and both those are posted to our website if people are interested in listening to that. But I was just looking through some of these, and I mean, the bottom line is this is a down class from a quarterback standpoint, but I think, you know, overall we're, you know, getting mostly positive feedback from Tyler Wilson.
Well, it seems like it. He's certainly nailing the interviews as you figure he would. He's having a good camp. Niall's done some great things. I guess the shocker for me, as it was, I'm sure, for you, I think you were saying it's just that Kobe Hamilton – turned in what a 4.56 in the 40-yard dash.
Yeah, he was disappointing. As disappointing as he was, I think Greg was that much more positive. I got exactly what I expected out of Niall Davis, and really for Tyler Wilson's standpoint, he told us last week he wasn't going to run a very good 40 time, so we kind of got what we expected from him as well.
But the big thing is,
I mean, from an accuracy standpoint, I mean, it sounded like, you know, the returns were pretty good from his throwing, and I think his pro day will go very well working with familiar receivers.
Greg made himself a bunch of money in that combine.
I think so.
He really did.
Well, except for Kaepernick, how many quarterbacks run 40 yards, you know?
Kaepernick runs 70 yards.
I never saw Tyler run 40 ever. I don't think so.
No, he just has to run about 5 or 10, you know, or avoid the – it's how quick he can backpedal, I guess.
Well, and this year he took a 4-step drop and got smashed most of the time, so that probably hurt his 40 time.
Well, I'm
maybe
excited.
Maybe he can protect it better at the next level.
I'm sure there's going to be some questions for some team seeing all of Niall Davis's numbers that look great, and they're going to go, well, is he just a, you know, is he a combine All-American? Can he do it when we put the pads on and play a game? You know, they're going to wonder because of his off days last season. But I mean, as we said pretty recently, if you could just take the A&M game and the LSU game apart from the rest of the season, that looks pretty good.
Well, and we talked to him, Jimmy, today, and I'm sure you heard that, but I mean, one of the things that stood out to me was he felt like he wasn't really comfortable as far as the contact and really getting back in the flow of things, which, let's be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of flow to the season period, but it didn't really feel good until the end of the season. And you could tell when the guy was comfortable in the LSU game, he played much, much better. And, oh, by the way, LSU's pretty good. So when you look
at NFL defense,
when you look good against that defense, he's playing pretty good football. So if they can take that and take what he did in his full health year when he led the SEC, I got to think he's going to get a pretty serious look and hopefully he can get himself in a pretty good situation.
Jim, the Detroit Lions are going to draft Niall Davis. You heard it here first. That way I'll be rooting for the ex-Hog.
Well, they need somebody.
Lions have no running back. Yeah. Davis would be a perfect fit up there. You got Megatron. You've got Stafford throwing the ball. They need a runner. Davis would be the guy.
And for Niall Davis, I guess the good news is, and I didn't mention this to him during the interview, but it could be worse. I mean, you know, they're getting poked and prodded, and he said they were pulling pretty seriously on all his formerly injured areas. But I would much rather have that happen than have somebody grill me about a fake ex-girlfriend and ask me repeatedly whether or not I was gay, which is apparently what Manti Te'o went through during his trip to the Combine.
Oh, man, don't hold fake girlfriends against him, man. Come on.
No, I'm not. I hold nothing against him. In fact, any of those things don't really matter to me. The biggest problem for him was that he ran – what? I'm just saying, he said it. I don't ask the questions. The guy ran a 4.8240. Here's the farce of the combine to me. Everybody said, look, if he runs a sub 4.8 40, it's going to be all good for him. If he runs over 4.8, look out. He runs a 4.8 2, okay? Does anybody know what the difference between a 4.8 2 looks like versus a 4.7?
Half a step.
I mean, 4.79, 4.8 2, I'm sorry. I mean, really? If he ran a 4.79, he's a way better linebacker. That's how nonsensical the combine is. But GMs and scouts all put a ton of credit or give a ton of credit to it, and they weigh it so heavily versus what the guy did on the field. And he had one horrible game and a couple of games where he was just okay, and the rest of the time he was an All-American linebacker.
And this is the question. Do you take a guy that for 4 years has been making plays or a guy that for 4 years has done nothing but his time's a little faster? If he's done nothing for 4 years, he's going to continue to do nothing at the next level.
As the great philosopher and former Zone co-host Nathan Christian once said. It was a different quote, but that was another good one. No, he said, if you're really fast, that means you can run yourself out of a play as fast as you can run yourself into a play. And that's obviously been the case in many situations with some Arkansas defenders we've seen over the years.
True.
I got a couple other things here, Jim. We're going to run out of time. I did want to get your reaction to the big raise for the Arkansas offensive line coach. My only take at the end of the day is that's cool to take the money and not go to Alabama. Clearly they think you're worth it, but you better not give up any sacks this year.
I'll tell you, yeah, everybody's going to be waiting for him to show just how much he's worth. You know, part of it is how great a recruiter he is, too. Mm-hmm. I tell you, we all need to be offered jobs of some sort by Alabama. Can we all get some kind of offer from Alabama and nearly double our salaries and stay at home?
Yeah.
It's good for Arkansas to hold on to Sam Pittman, especially at this time of the year. They came calling right after recruiting. So, you know, it would have been a really tough loss anyway to lose a coach who'd helped you sign two or three absolute stud linemen. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to go coach with Nick Saban. Now, the good news is he didn't. He says he's home, but just in case he wasn't sure, they sure did sweeten his pot with $500,000. Would have thought a non-coordinator would make that kind of money.
And we were talking about that earlier. That's why it's – and people can say, oh, you know, at the end of the day, it's just money and it's okay, and Bielema didn't take as much as he could have got. Yeah, but this is the first time we've ever heard of a non-coordinator making $500,000, so it is significant news. The other thing is the buyout was $100,000. That was a little bothersome to me as a Razorback fan.
There's a buyout for a position coach?
Yes. Well, they all have buyouts, but that's not the issue. It's $100,000.
Is it a concern? I think they should have made it $500,000.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. It should have been way more than that. I think $100,000 is pathetic considering it's like, look, we're going to pay you unprecedented money to be the offensive line coach at the University of Arkansas, and we're thrilled to have you. But guess what? You're going to sign this non-compete, which includes a buyout of at least 250 or 300. Not that these teams wouldn't pay it. I'm sure they would.
Alabama has 300 and change in the couch cushion.
But here's the thing. If they pay you $300,000 for a buyout, guess what? That pays for your next offensive line coach because the next guy ain't making $500,000.
That's a very good point.
Is my bet.
That's a good point.
He is.
I was surprised it only doubled. It was $50,000. I think all his coaches now have that to $100,000. Heck, I'd have said, look, here's a 2-year contract, and the buyout is a year's salary.
Hey, Big Babe, we're going to hold this break for just a second because Terry Harwick's here, so we're going to get him while we can because I know he's got to get to other things. But, that's my deal, Jim. Hey, anytime the boss wants to double my salary and double my buyout, I'm totally cool with it. So, in fact, I'll sign a non-compete for 3 years. I will sit out of work for 3 years if I take another job. But as long as you double my salary, we're all good with that.
I heard your buyout is $100.
I don't even have a contract.
Oh.
So, I have no buyout. But that's cool. I mean, I'm not important.
It's better working without a contract. Then you can go somewhere if you want to. Remember?
That's true. We can take
my father told me
we can
that.
Take this show on the road. I like that. As a former, I guess your dad was in the union.
He was.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There's a man who knows his way around a contract. All right, Jim, we appreciate it. Always good to have you on. All right, talk to you soon.
See
you. Care.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jim Harris. And Jim Harris will be joining us, I'm sure, at Barton Coliseum. Terry Hartwick is here, really to celebrate what's happened with our friends from Rolling Wraps. But also, we need to talk about the high school basketball championships at Barton Coliseum. We were talking about that a little bit ago. I loved hockey at Barton.